The church where I was born. I've said that to a number of you as I greet you, but I was born here and lived here from 1959 to 1962. I think it may be my one memory of it was at age three or so, was the elder Mr. Ramsey handing out chiclets to the kids this was the back of the church then by this door. It was actually right here, so if anyone wants to meet me here and bring chiclets, I'll be in the zone again for that. But it's a real privilege to be among you. And a real privilege not just from my own family history, but from the work of God's grace among you to join you with that and to come together. So I'm delighted. Our passage for study today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 on through chapter 3 at verse 5. I want to relate to you as we begin something that's been a very genuine blessing to me. Since for the last 16 months, I've been every week in the prison chapels. We'll talk about that later. But things had developed over time to be in six chapels in the Fresno area in the various state prisons. And so I preach six times a week. And the blessing is that about time number five, I'm beginning to get it. I have face-on interaction about these words and seeking to convey them. I tend to begin to get it as time goes on, and it's good for me, good for my soul. I think what I realize is that I need it so badly. I know the answers to the questions. I can do the multiple choice test. But the truths that will be presented to you today from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are things that my soul needs every day, and I need to renew it to my soul for courage. Renew it to my soul for hope. Renew it to my soul for compassion and boldness and outreach. And I think of years of ministry at Fresno Church. Fresno was my only church since 1988. And so years of ministry at a church. My hopes that the gospel would bear fruit there. My ministry in the prisons, the hope that the gospel would bear fruit there. I should narrow it right to here. The hope that the gospel would bear fruit in this soul. The hope that the gospel would bear fruit when I have someone in my acquaintance to whom the Lord has sent me to share, to commend him to them. Hope with regard to the prospect of the gospel bearing fruit in my own family's lives, for whom I long for the gospel to bear fruit. The hope of all these things is set before us in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 on to 3:5, for this reason. That in this is a very concentrated thing. It's a pattern across both letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's a pattern across all of the Apostle Paul's letters, that he often thanks the Lord concerning God's work in the churches, thanks the Lord and itemizes things for which he gives thanks. Secondly, he both prays and asks for prayer in a number of categories for things. It's a pattern across both letters. In this, it's very concentrated in this section of 2 Thessalonians. And here's the deal. Things for which we thank God, things which the inspired authors of Scripture both petition God and about which they petition God, call upon the churches to make petition to God, those things belong to God to give. Does that make sense? If we're thanking Him, if we're petitioning Him, He must be involved in those things. They belong to Him to give. He is able to give such things as you'll see in this list. More than that, it is His will to give such things as what we will read of today. A little bit more background on the letters to Thessalonica. Not an extended background. The fellows in my chapel say, you always talk for like 40 minutes and then you read the passage. But anyway, we'll get to that. Look at Connor laughing back there. But anyway, just a word of introduction to the situation. Why could there be a church in Thessalonica? Why could there be a church? It's a very unlikely place for a church. If you go back to Acts chapter 17 and read the description of what happened there, that the record, the inspired record, only records reasoning in the synagogue for 3 Sabbath days and then conflict. And it's the new believers that are sending the apostle away for his safety. It's that bad, that fast. Now, I think the passage fully allows for a little more time than 3 weeks. But the atmosphere of those passages is that it's an immediate being torn away. In the First Thessalonian letter, the apostle says, "Brothers, when we were torn away from you," that has the sound of the immediate. And again, the writer of Acts only gives us a sense of just immediately after 3 weeks. And the apostle in the first letter says, when we could stand it no longer, we sent to find out about your faith. They sent Timothy back just to find out about their faith and to encourage them because they were under such pressure. The Thessalonian church was a persecuted church immediately. The apostle Paul likens their persecution to his own. You think that's persecution? He likens their persecution in Thessalonica to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ in Judea. You see these things, across the record and across the first letter. Serious persecution. How could it possibly be that a church was planted in a matter of a few weeks such that new believers were grounded and strong enough to hope in Christ under that kind of opposition? It is because these things belong to God to give, and He poured them out for their sake. Again, what we're looking at today concerns what he begins thanking you. We ought always to thank God for you, and it goes on from there in verse 13. What I want you to think about as we get into the list that will be made here is the categories of things for which he gives thanks. Again, I can answer the multiple choice test. Do all good things come from the Lord? The book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, from the Creator of the heavenly lights and all of that. Acts 17, 25, He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Do I depend on God for my food and clothing and shelter and health? All of those things. I can answer the multiple choice test. But what I want you to notice as we read is the categories of things. You get that word in your head? The categories of things for which he thanks God, makes petition himself, and calls upon the church to ask God for. We are finally going to read 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning He chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, brothers, stand firm, hold to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do all the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. If you had to make the category list, it gets big. There's a lot there. He thanks God for persons. He thanks God for souls because God has loved them and chosen them for salvation. You hear Him saying, may it be that the one who gave eternal encouragement and good hope would encourage. And so He petitions for encouragement. He petitions God for strength unto good deeds and words. He asks the church to petition God for the rapid advance of the gospel. That must belong to God to give. I think the literal rendering of the word is that it may run unhindered, if you will. The advance of the gospel belongs to God to give. He asks for battle strength because we have an enemy and because the gospel may be opposed by servants of that enemy here. He asks that their love and would increase to glorify His name and that their perseverance would keep on. That's seven things. It's a good list, concentrated list. Let's walk through them one at a time. First of all, souls. We ought always to thank God for you. And I want to look out at faces. To thank God, it's a privilege to be here, to thank God for you. Loved by the Lord. Because from the beginning, He chose you to be saved. You see how He's talking to them? You know, and He thanks God for souls, persons. And that's a wonderful thing. He thanked God for souls because God has everything to do. Notice the way the words come to us. He describes them as souls loved by the Lord. You, loved by the Lord. And chosen, not just in general. Not just chosen to have a better shot at salvation than most. Can I say that again? Chosen, not just, you know, I'm so glad God chose you to have a better shot at salvation than most. I'm messing with you a little bit here. That He chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. The choosing has an object in the sentence. Chose you to be saved. Chose you for sanctifying work through the Spirit. Chose you for belief in the truth. That's how the flow goes. And so it belongs to God to give these things. This applies to us because you just in those words you get a sense that we will be involved in the proclamation of the gospel. God chose them to be saved through this gospel. And so there will be proclaimers, and you are persons who commend Christ to others. So it will be through the commending of Him by the proclamation of the gospel. But underneath that, I know I'm on assignment, I know I'm sent out, but underneath that is the idea that God has loved persons, and I'm just a finite creature. I don't know whom He's loved and whom He hasn't, you know, in that particular saving way. But I enter in with the hope that rests in the fact that God is about the business of these kinds of things. It belongs to Him to give. And I'll tell you what, I need that refreshment every day. You know, I preach it six times and come here and preach it to you again, and I think I can do the multiple choice test. I really do. But I need, when I think of someone I love who is not yet a believer or who is turning from the Lord, I need the knowledge that it belongs to God to sanctify by His Spirit. God loves people. When the Lord sent the apostle, Paul, Silas, Timothy, from Philippi on over to Thessalonica, I don't even think the apostle's back would have been healed up from the beating that he had there. And he's going to Thessalonica, which is a major town. Don't think of some postcard with what you think, some mud-covered huts at Thessalonica. Thessalonica had been capital of Macedonia for 200 years before Paul got there. And it was a port city and a massive, endeavor there and everything. And he was going to the synagogue and he'd just been, anyway, there's a lot going on there. But when I think of persons whom I love, I need to remind my own soul. I'm doing it in your presence. Remind my own soul that God can save. God can save. He can redeem. He can make hope happen, if you will. Open the eyes, the heart to it, the hope of it. He can do that. He is in the business of such things as those. On to the matter of encouragement. As you look at verses, 16 and 17. I want you to notice that there are two things stated in these verses, 16 and 17. In 16, he declares that God has given a reason for encouragement already. This is something done. It's something God has done. He gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. But notice that in 17, he's asking the Lord to work in hearts that encouragement might be taken. You see what I'm saying there? The Lord has not only held out for us a reason that we could hope, but He's in the taste of hope business. He works with hearts so that we would be encouraged or consoled in the light of this and established in that way. That's a wonderful hope there. Notice also that he speaks in verse 17 of strength to good deeds and words. Sanctification, right? May it be. This is a petition. God must be in the business. That people would actually take courage in the hope such that they would be strengthened, established, grounded in good words and deeds. Sanctification is His business too. And we can entrust ourselves to Him, knowing that He is about the business of helping our hearts in that way. Let's go on to chapter 3. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. It's the latter portion of the sentence I want to focus in on. What had happened in Thessalonica? Though it was an unlikely place, in Thessalonica the word had been honored by some. We know that some flatly rejected the gospel in Thessalonica, but among some it was honored. And he says, pray for us that it would be honored like that in the other places where we will proclaim it. I think of 1 Thessalonians, what he thanked God for back there in chapter 2 at verse 13. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God. So he is asking them to pray that the message of the gospel would be reacted to and responded to in a certain way. God's in the heart business for the response of the gospel. He was in Thessalonica, and he thanks him for it here in the first letter, and then calls upon the church to pray, and we can pray too like that, that the gospel would be responded to in a certain way, that he would work with hearts so that hearts bring it honor instead of dishonor. God is in the business in that regard. Pray that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. How much experience did the Apostle Paul have of body damage by opposition to the gospel? Again, I don't think his back is healed up yet from Philippi. Pray that we might be delivered. It's a perfectly legitimate prayer that that not happen. But we also know that God sometimes allowed it to happen, and he had to face it. And these folks in Thessalonica had to face it too and be strong. You know, hold on, stand firm, those kinds of words. Well, the word in verse 3 helps us. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from whom? This is verse 3. You don't have to say it out loud. You can say it out loud. Yes. Because picture the enemy of our souls stirring up anger and conflict and bodily harm against Paul or others, or against the folks at Thessalonica. Loss of property, whatever it was. Stirring that up, I would imagine from Scripture's account that he wants their misery. But that's not all that the enemy of our souls wants. He wanted, it seems, and I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians to get this, he wanted, it seems, to unsettle them, calling into question whether Christ could be trusted. That's why he stirred up the persecution. He wanted them unsettled. And yet the declaration of the Apostle Paul is that the Lord will be faithful and strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He's talking about souls hanging on under hard times. And that's what seems to be happening there. At the end of it, in verse 5, chapter 3, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love, into Christ's perseverance. Notice in both cases the mention of love and the mention of perseverance, that both of those belong to God. Whose love? Whose perseverance? Right? And then notice again, once again, that God is in the heart business. He's working with your heart to direct it into his love and Christ's perseverance. He is in the business. You can turn to him and hope in him for him to work with your heart to direct you into his love. I remember what we read in from Ephesians this morning. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, do you see what's going on? Rooted and established in it, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how long and high and deep, wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know that love. To direct your heart into it is to begin there, I think. I think it probably also would include the broad picture of directing your hearts into being loving, but I think it starts with the first one. To be directed into his love is to know it, to know his love. That's the strength upon which we can go on to the other things. And then Christ's perseverance, to direct a heart into perseverance. The Lord has not simply said to us, grit your teeth a bit harder, pull harder upon your bootstraps to persevere. No, rather, may he direct your hearts into that perseverance which is Christ's. Amen? What kind of a list is that? Categories. Things for which he thanked God, things for which he made petition, things for which he called upon the churches to make petition. All of these belong to God to give. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray for my own soul. I need this truth. When I flounder, knowing the answer, but needing the heart embrace of the answer, the hope of it, the courage of it, the consolation of it, the being established in it. So thank you, Lord, for these things. And I pray that this congregation would be encouraged by the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.